Hello, welcome to URL. I'm your host, Courtney Miller.
And I'm Chance McCrary.
And we have a very special guest today. We're doing it very much like Smosh Mouth this time.
Yeah, okay.
We have Gianmarco Sorrezzi with us, comedian, funny guy, theater guy, also OG Smosh fan.
Whoa, what?
Hey. Just the merch.
So you had the Smosh shirt though. When did you get that?
I just got it on a couple months ago. I like supporting, you know, young up-and-coming creators.
What's going on with the rest of the picture?
Well, it was part of a bit. Mm-hmm. I believe I was talking to someone who researches BDSM.
Oh.
Oh, and so like, you're like this? And then you wrapped your mic around?
Yeah, you guessed it.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it was a suicide joke. It's one of the two.
You know?
Or...
The
together.
Two jokes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Gianmarco, thank you for being on the show with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
You know, this show is all about the internet. You and your comedy is all up in there. You've had some experience online. We want to talk all about that with you today.
My couples counselor said that my clips have finally gotten into her feed.
Oh, no.
And I think it's given me an edge up in the sessions.
They like Whoa. Understand you more?
Yeah, like if my girlfriend's complaining, I'm like, it's like the bit, right?
Oh my God. Now you're like chumming it up with the counselor.
Yeah. I can tell there's just a little bit of like glow.
No.
It's not good.
That feels like cheating good. And you need to play fair.
I'll tell my girlfriend as they start putting out Crowder clips, you can start winning these sessions.
Oh, that is so funny. Like what clips have they seen? Do they go, I saw that one. That was so funny.
They haven't gotten specific yet, thankfully. But we know too much. I'm kind of like a therapy purist. And I'm like,
whoa.
I think you should know very little about your therapist.
Yes.
Yes, I like
and
to keep that.
It's changed though. Like our couples counselor, it's part of some group. So we get like an email and it's like, here's what your therapist is watching this week. I'm like, get the f*** out of
whoa.
Here. Because I don't want to go, oh, my therapist has bad taste.
Yeah, or like, am I supposed to be a fan of my therapist like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You go to her stories and it's like, ugh, annoying fucking client today.
Yeah. Like, everybody's an influencer now. Gianmarco, what's your relationship with the internet?
Oh, I feel like I've been there from the beginning. I'm an elder millennial.
Okay.
I feel like I
oh.
was... Thank you.
Thanks.
It took too long, but I mean, if you know the dial-up sound, if you've been there for the waiting for the three boxes of AOL, that feels like we were there sort of at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with like where you get to just really fuck around. What were the first places that you were fucking around online?
MySpace, it was just at the tail end of MySpace. Thank God. It seemed kind of stressful. Mm. With the, you picked your top six friends.
Mm-hmm. Top eight, but yeah.
Top eight. That's toxic.
I like it. You know exactly where you stand.
I love it. I kind of loved it, but I never had enough friends to put in.
That's fair.
I had like lots of friends, but like I felt weird. I'd sometimes feel like somebody I didn't know that well in it.
Mm. In the hopes that they'd be like, oh, we should be friends.
Yeah, and it didn't go like that.
Do you guys have people pinned in your messages right now?
Pinned?
In my text messages? You
yeah.
Mean? Yeah. You don't know the pin?
No, what's the pin?
You can pin like certain people at the top of your messages.
Oh, so okay. So like top eight, but texting.
Yes, exactly that.
Wow, that's really cool.
Things come back.
I love that. What else was stressful about MySpace?
I don't know. It was just like, I was too young. You could customize it. You could have music on your page.
What music would you have on your page?
Oh, it was so long ago. I was probably like, would have been Spice Girls.
Amazing.
Like just
amazing.
Trying to like state.
And what music would you have now on your page?
Spice Girls.
Okay, good answer. Good answer.
Okay, consistent.
No, it'd be some like musical theater thing.
Okay.
Just to like be clear. Sure. Like this is who I am.
Sure.
But I still love the OG Spice Girls for sure.
Okay. MySpace, what else? What else were you?
I was in AIM. AIM is where it really was in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. And I had Mamma Mia with some numbers was my AOL account because I saw Mamma Mia on Broadway.
And that's like an Italian thing to say.
Yes, exactly.
Mamma Mia. I'm sorry.
No, that was good.
Thank you.
But Mamma Mia, it was like at my mom's house. So when I went to my dad's house, I made an AM account and it was Papa Pia. That was my...
Nice.
You had an alter
that's
ego.
Wordplay.
Yeah. I think that was just AIM. Mamma Mia, like it was my AOL email stuff. Papa Pia was just AIM.
Sure.
That's so cool. It's like your Twitch stream name or something.
Yeah.
Like.
Now on the AIM, are you talking to bots or are you talking to people?
I mostly people. I looked into the chats. Like I looked like, oh, maybe I'll make a friend. and they just scared me really quickly. Mm. It was some chat where I thought someone was saying okay aggressively, and then I was like, oh no, it's KKK. This is like, like, oh my God, this is like a dark part of the internet.
Wait, what?
How did just you like find someone this just going, man?
Someone, I just remember someone kept like KKK, and I was like, I got it. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, you're racist.
Oh.
Oh my God. How did you come across this person?
It was like you just clicked on a chat. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Right, I swear.
Right. No, yeah, right. Yeah.
It was a white supremacist chat. And I was like, what is
what
this?
What is this?
I feel like a lot of chats are white supremacist chats.
Oh.
Sure.
Got them. Get them.
So I didn't dabble too much in those chats. I just had friends who are on AIM. Mm-hmm. And you had your profile and you curated your little profile with like a Spice Girls lyric, I'm sure. Never give up on the good times.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I feel like when I would log into AIM or things like that, it's like you're just sitting there waiting to see who's logging in and logging out. And then like you chat. And then like, what? I would be like on other stuff at the same time. Like,
yeah, because you'd hear the door.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Of people coming on and leaving.
So satisfying.
Wow.
I think for a while had those sounds as like my text tones and stuff on my iPhone because I just like love it so
much. AIM was, I remember it being kind of fun.
And like, it was kind of fun, like hot take.
Because it was more like, it was texting, more purposeful texting because you sat down to do it.
And I guess you have to be like in the virtual room together.
There was a chat, you could make a group chat.
Okay.
Where you could have a few in AIM?
Yeah, you could, for sure.
But people didn't do that.
I feel like I only ever got those if I was getting like confronted.
It's like, oh, it's like an intervention kind
of? Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I went to a summer camp. And made some friends, I think.
Was it a theater camp?
No, but I found the theater kids within it.
Sure.
And I think I made out with someone. It was like the first summer I made out with someone. But it was like at the very end of the camp, I like found a group of friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My top eight, IRL. And it was like right after the camp, you know, we swore we were going to stay in touch, mm-hmm. crying. Mm-hmm. We were going to like go on vacation somehow together. We're like 12. We don't know how to do this. And then suddenly on AIM, no one, I got ghosted by all of them. Like in a way where like we were maybe talking for a couple of days and then suddenly one by one, all ghosted. No. In a way that felt strange.
So
felt calculated, felt devised. And so I did, after like a month or 2 months of trying to reach them, I did a group AIM chat. And I wrote, good morning.
Hi, all.
This is Gianmarco Cerezi's mom. I'm so sorry to tell you.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
But Gianmarco took his own life.
Oh.
It came out of the blue. I don't know if anyone would know why he would do such a thing. And no one responded. No one responded. And I don't know if that means they didn't believe me or they didn't care.
Are you sure your internet was on?
I checked.
It said.
I checked. No one responded.
Ever?
Nope.
Did you go to the camp the next year?
No, I couldn't. I had to stay in character as dead.
Wow.
I mean, it's like getting the experience of having a funeral and no one shows up.
Yeah, that's as close as it gets when you didn't actually die.
Yeah.
The
first girl I ever made out with didn't give a shit.
Okay, so what do you think it was? Like, what did you do? You did something? I don't know what. But there's no way.
I don't know if I want to go back there emotionally, but
sure.
I don't know.
When you were alive?
Like, there was the thing where I was like, the person I made out with, like, she may have made out with someone else. So part of me was like, ooh. maybe there was a love triangle thing, mm-hmm. which that's the optimistic version. The other version is collectively, they decided, ugh.
Didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I was just annoying.
What a weird thing.
Oh, no. There's no way. That kind of behavior, that calculated behavior, I don't feel like it existed yet. We were still learning, like, that kind of stuff, that kind of behavior, those social things online. Like,
or they all think, oh, they thought I killed myself and they felt such shame
that they couldn't
be that they're still, and maybe they'll see this in their psych ward.
Like, he is alive.
When they get their hour of YouTube time.
Or,
go, oh my God.
Or maybe they just immediately didn't believe you and then just chatted with each other and they're like, yeah, that was freaking fake.
But we were so young, I feel like I would have fallen for it.
Do you feel like you really embodied your mom in the message?
There's like misspelling.
Yeah, I think it was like appropriately cold. But maybe the tell is like, how did his mom know about all the camp friends?
Sure.
Maybe
specifically
you,
the eight camp friends to write them a group message.
Eight of them?
Something like that. I mean, yeah, it was an alarming amount.
Wow, so that whole group. Wait, that's crazy.
I could, who knows, maybe the language, maybe I like, but I was like, he killed himself for shizzle. And they were like, what the f***? How does his mom know?
What a cool mom.
What a cool mom.
Oh, that's wild. I'm sorry. Yeah, it didn't register to me how many friends did this to you and deserved deserved that message from your mom.
Who knows? The lingo could have betrayed it. I had some. I mean, some of the lingo was, I said, peace out, Girl Scout, a lot.
That's awesome. Oh, so you're saying like that might have put them off you, like in real life?
Marco peaced out this morning via rope.
Girl Scout. Oh my God. Okay.
I didn't specify even in the email how I did it.
Right.
I feel like
I'd
as a mother.
I'd be a little bit curious.
I mean, yes, but as a mother, you wouldn't share that information about your son. So I think that was a good character choice.
Mm.
But so your friends ghosted you, and in a way, you kind of ghosted them right back in a different way.
Yeah.
The first ghosting, I fear.
Yeah.
This episode of URL is sponsored by ZocDoc. You know that long list of things to do? Like buying a birthday gift for your bestie, running to the grocery store because you forgot that one ingredient for that one recipe, or dropping off your packages at the post. The last thing you want to deal with is scheduling a doctor's appointment. I don't even have time to think about that. Well, that's what I thought until I started using ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, like typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same-day appointments. There's also real-time availability, so I can click to book instantly, and you can do video visits or in-person appointments. ZocDoc gives me options so that I can do what works for me and what works for my schedule. Finding a new doctor can make you feel uncertain, but with ZocDoc, I'm able to look at thousands of verified patient reviews to get a real sense of who my doctor is. I always feel like I'm in good hands. My friend's birthday is coming up, and I wanted to make sure that they were nice and hydrated after their celebration, so I went on ZocDoc looking for a good hydration IV therapy. Very LA, I know. But I was able to find a great one on ZocDoc. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/URL to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/URL. ZocDoc.com/URL. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Back to the show.
Have you ever been, like, genuinely ghosted?
Yeah.
Yes.
I went on a date with a couple dates with a guy.
He texted you, I killed myself.
Yeah, no. It was just all of a sudden no responses. And I was like, so brave.
I think someone tried to ghost me once. Like, we lived kind of far away from each other, so I'd, like, come to his neck of the woods to, like, hang out. But my friend was living out there, so I was with her. And I was texting him, like, okay, like, when are we going to hang out? And, like, kept being like, hey, I'm here, I'm out here. And it was, like, hours and, like, 12 hours. Like, and I was, like, texting, like, are you okay? Like, hello? And literally, like, into the night, I was like, are you okay? Like, I think I had called a few times. And then finally they responded, like, hey. And so I don't know if that was maybe just, like, a quick little micro ghosting. But then
have you seen Baby Reindeer?
I have seen Baby
Reindeer. Sounds like the other perspective of the story.
That's
she's like, someone tried to ghost me.
You're right.
I texted them.
That was my origin story.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, thanks for calling me. No, but that's. I'm sorry that happened to you. And I'm sorry that
It was traumatizing. Because it just I never got resolution.
Yeah.
And they deleted everything. I would kill to go back just to be like, yeah, we thought you sucked.
You don't even have like last names or anything to like try and connect on Facebook.
Yeah, you're right. It's ghosted by so many people at once.
Yeah,
it's
like
so many.
Yeah.
Someone spread a lie about you, I think. That's my theory. So if the girl who made out with you.
As opposed to the lie I spread about myself.
Maybe the girl who made out with you.
I mean, they didn't respond. What if they were like on a trip and then like something tragic happened?
What if?
What if they die?
They're
all
the ones who go.
Yeah. What if they missed me so much they all killed themselves before I could write them?
Before you could make it. No, genuinely though, I like my theory is because you said that you were worried that the girl you made out with maybe made out with someone else. What if she was trying to cover her tracks and just use you as the fall guy?
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
And now you're a comedian.
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
When did you start doing stand-up?
Good question.
Late. I took a class when I was in college. Like one summer I was doing an acting program and I took a stand-up class.
What was stand-up class like?
It's just like, hey, at the end of this 8 weeks, you're going to do 5 minutes on stage.
Okay. Okay.
So you go to a room and you all like do your set for each other. And it's not great, but just doing it, you learn.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they brought in Daryl Hammond from SNL, the guy who played, he did like Al Gore and Bill Clinton. And
oh.
He talked about, hey, this sucks. And
like, cool. don't do it.
Don't do this.
Don't try
I'm miserable.
It. Yeah.
I pictured a stand up class being like, okay, when you stand, try to like look casual and like don't hold your mic. If you're a guy, don't hold it so it looks like you're sucking a dick. Because like, I feel like everybody holds the mic like in a certain way.
Who's
you know
holding
what I mean?
It like they're suck?
Like some people like they want to hold a mic like this, but I see a lot of guys will hold it like with the cord in their hand.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
It looks cool,
too.
But I'm like, what is the? I'm like, is it like an art? Is it like a craft that like you're honing your craft when you figure out how you grip the mic?
Yeah, it's part of it. I want to do more mic stand tricks.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like kind of kick it over, yeah. Catch it with your foot.
Those are cool.
And so I got one because they always said with like basketball, and I was never good at basketball, but they're like, have the basketball around all the time. So,
yeah.
And so I want to do that with a mic stand.
But yeah.
So I bought one, but then I tried the kick and I scuffed our wall almost immediately.
And then never again?
You gotta try
again.
I'm
scared.
Come on.
Oh.
But I want to
do
it.
You go like outside and do it, like in the yard or something.
Go to a park, like a real person, like in the middle of the field. Uh-huh. Like, okay, so we talked about early internet days. What was like your computer access situation? Like, especially since your parents got divorced when you were pretty young.
Yeah, baby. So I think... I think I always had my own computer. I didn't have to do too much family computer stuff.
Hell yeah. Okay.
But at my dad's house, his computer would break down. I assume because of porn.
Mm.
This is back when like porn would like fuck up your computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
These were not MacBooks. These were PCs. I think one time I went to my mom's
house.
How
does porn fuck up your computer?
It's just like they would fill it with viruses and you...
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that?
Just porn sites were just so scrappy.
Why? It is true. Why did they? Because it's. I don't even know if they were getting your data.
What do you get from it?
Maybe like
other
those
than
were
just fucking people up.
Those were like the highest traffic sites, probably, and like people and like maybe the security and stuff was so low, so people
but
could
also,
like hack
who's
it.
Who's just out here making viruses? Like, what is the point? What is the reason?
What is the point?
Like, maybe they blackmail you and be like, if you wanna. They do that sometimes where it's
where
like...
they can get your info.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember like a virus would start on the computer and then I would just hard shut it down and then kind of walk away.
Or it was like maybe it's like a religious thing and they were like, you're looking up porn.
You deserve a virus.
You deserve a virus.
Sure.
Shut it down.
Sure.
Vigilante work right there. Okay, but so...
I think at some point, I went to my mom's house when I got back to my computer at my dad's house. There was porn on it. And that's how I found out, oh my God, you can get porn on the internet. And it was, because I was a Napster boy for sure. Like I was downloading songs. I was doing the, you start a song that morning, downloading, and by night, maybe you got your song.
No way.
And sometimes it was the wrong song or it was like weird noises.
Yes.
Some of it's just people fucking with you, I think. But then I went to, it was like, I think the Napster, then I don't know if LimeWire, then Kazaa, but these were my downloader apps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I went to like the image, there was images. I hadn't downloaded any images.
Whoa.
And there was porn. And it clearly my dad had downloaded porn on my computer because his computer broke. And
oh
that's how
God.
I found out.
Wow.
He ruined his computer with porn so much he had to go to his son's computer and download memorabilia.
And the image, I believe one that I really remember was like, it was Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing Tomb Raider at the time.
Okay, awesome.
And it was like, it was as if she decided, I mean, it was clearly fake. I don't even think it was like even a Photoshopped head of her. It was someone who kind of looked like, in Tomb Raider garb. So the premise was sometime during the shoot, she said, hey, I'm going to go do a photo shoot in the Tomb Raider garb, tits out. And it was so clearly fake, but it was just that perfect age where it was like, wow, what this is real.
Makes you think.
And then from there, I was like, oh, there's images. Oh, there's videos. And that's how I got into to porn. The first porn I ever watched, it was called MILF Hunter. And again—
Wait, MILF Hunter?
MILF Hunter.
So it's a guy hunting for MILFs?
Yeah, it's a MILF hunting for low, guys. He really didn't have to do much work. It was like, again, I thought it was real. And it was like a guy looking pretty schlubby. And and he's walking in a grocery store. And there's a woman there. And he's followed by like a camera, the MILF intern, I guess. And he would meet someone and be like, hey, do you want to hook up? And she's like, okay. And I thought this was what adulthood was going to be like.
Right.
At this day. Like, I was like, this is incredible that at the grocery store.
Yeah.
By the cucumbers. And it wasn't until I saw that same MILF in a different porn that I started wisening up.
Whoa.
I was like, wow, this MILF, she's also orders pizza. Like, that's when I'm starting to put the pieces together.
The pizza pieces.
But that was my dad. I mean, my dad, he taught me like how to, you know.
So then at your mom's house, what was the computer?
Okay, wait. What? I first just need to like unpack. Like,
the dad?
So I didn't realize they were making like what sounds like man on the street videos style.
Yeah, early
getting
man
a
on
MILF.
The street.
And so you were like, wow, like this is what sex is like.
Yeah, I thought adults were having a lot more casual sex after they had a child.
Just like improv scenes. It's just like so casual. Yeah, sorry. I was wrapping my mind around like the concept of like early days of porn and like, yes, of course, people have such a distorted view of like meeting women
right.
and like getting into it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So now mom's house, computer virus free, I'm assuming?
Well, now at my mom's house, I got a laptop. So now I'm doing,
ooh.
Now once I know how porn works, I'm going. But this is back
when
we were downloading videos. I don't know if there were like because this was pre-YouTube. So you were downloading files.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you were holding on to them and building a little collection.
Okay. A little empire.
And then who knows? My dad, next time his computer breaks, I'm at my mom's, he goes and he's like, holy shit, look at this wealth of treasure trove. My dad's probably like, oh, you can download videos?
Oh my God, you were teaching each other?
We're teaching
That's
each other.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I mean, you could probably look up when Tomb Raider came.
Oh, right.
Whenever Tomb Raider came out. That's how old I was.
I remember that movie. Shoot, listen, I get it. I probably would have had the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But wow. I didn't have a laptop of my own until I was about 15. And it was like because I wanted to edit videos. My dad was like down to help with that. But like, man, I found a whole world in there. And then my family computer, my mom's family computer, I would watch her play Sims all day. She rose. She raised a virtual family better than her real.
Yeah, get her.
But that computer, I was just searching up stuff. I think I didn't have to download stuff, but I definitely was like, you just be searching things up. Because did you like start like thinking of scenarios to search for and download? Because that's what I would do. I would go, is there a video of like this happening?
Like, what's your scenario?
Like a scenario. Well,
like.
Yeah, give us the scenario.
Like, I was like, is there Goku having sex with Sailor Moon?
Yeah,
that's
great.
Awesome.
There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go.
There is. It's called Sailor Moon X.
Whoa.
Sailor Moon Hunter.
Early hentai.
That's awesome.
Hentai scared me. I ran away. I had to turn that shit off. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God, I ship it.
Wait, they're kind of cute together.
Now,
it makes sense.
This is good. Sailor Moon X, though, like, it is... It's the worst animation. It's like they took two cardboard cutouts and like went like this.
That's some
to
good
show
shit.
Them having sex.
I love that stuff.
Look at Goku's so arms. Funny. Like Jesus.
Yeah. This is nice. I like it.
Really
this.
Nice.
You have good taste, Gianmarco.
Well, I was into Dragon Ball Z, but we went on eBay and I got all these Japanese bootlegs of the episodes that had never come out in America.
Oh.
Whoa.
And it was crazy because in Japan, you know, the standards would be different. So there was like cursing, there was blood.
No way.
There was nudity. Not hentai, but there was like Bulma was showing her tits everywhere. Woo! And then Master Roshi, blood would shoot out of his nose.
Oh, yes. Classic
and
meme.
It was crazy because it hadn't been released yet. It felt like this cool, like, oh my God, what's yeah. Super Saiyan 2? No one knows what that is.
Yeah.
And it was like a cool, it just felt exciting. It was a time when the internet, it wasn't like, oh, you can just find out anything anywhere all over the world. It felt like you were an explorer and you had a secret that no one knew about.
You were kind of like a porn hipster.
Yeah.
I like that for you. That's pretty cool.
This episode of URL is sponsored by Reddit. I need to take a vacation, or at least dream about taking one. Doesn't that sound delightful? It could be an international voyage or maybe just a quick road trip. I honestly have no idea yet. I thought, why not hop onto Reddit and do a little searching? Reddit is the app for authentic conversations about anything and everything. That's why I turn to my favorite subreddit, r/travel. I prefer to use Reddit because it gives me access to a community. People can give me hints on the best spots to eat, where to catch the best views, or which tourist traps to avoid. And who doesn't love to dream about travel? Come on, these photos are gorgeous. Plus, no one is trying to sell me anything. It's just real people sharing their experiences. Because there are so many different perspectives on various destinations, I get to see a range of options I wouldn't normally find on other apps. I randomly was actually searching for a new desk for my home office, and there was this brand I hadn't seen before, wasn't sure what people's real reviews or experiences were, because sometimes websites can be weird with their reviews. I went on Reddit, saw honest opinions about this desk, I got it, and this desk is incredible. I literally, thank you, Reddit, you secured the bag for me. Whatever question you're dealing with, whatever problem you're stuck on, Reddit already has the answers. Download the Reddit app and get answers on r/travel. Download the Reddit app today. Back to the show.
My era of shock videos were Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I plan to go my whole life without seeing that video.
Me too.
It's not as bad as Two Girls, One Finger.
What?
What? Didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that was like...
Oh, I'm clenching everything right now.
Two Girls, One Cup is a lot of poop. Two Girls, One Finger is like vomiting in each other's mouth.
No.
That one was a tougher watch.
But why?
You know, I hope those women made a lot of money. You know,
I doubt it.
We never talk about the
two girls. I doubt the Two Girls, One Finger ladies are like in a mansion somewhere right now.
Yeah. We need to get them on.
They're pooping in the finest China.
Yeah. They're pooping into the finest China. Did you say that?
Yeah. Ah. Yeah.
I think we should talk to those women.
Blue waffle.
That was a shock. That was the famous shocking picture, right?
I don't think I ever actually,
My health teacher showed it to us.
No way.
And then Goatsy?
Goatsy, the artist?
Banksy? You...
Banksy. Right?
Yeah, we need that Goatsy-Banksy collab.
Oh!
Goatsy, you'll see it pop up in other ways, but it's just a guy holding his asshole open. So wide.
Oh, no. I don't like that photo. I know that photo.
Yeah.
I had an ex who I needed to use their computer for something really quick. And so I clicked Safari and then it went to that picture.
What?
And it was because if someone stole his computer and went on Safari, because he was using Firefox or something. And so it was like him punishing someone for using Safari. And I think I like that made me like him like 30% less as a partner. Yeah,
that's fair.
But so I have seen that one. That one's rough.
I remember this one time. So my computer, it was before porn, before I was like looking at porn on websites, probably still downloading. Computer broke. We called someone over to like fix the computer. Like they came to the house.
Wow.
And he was like looking up a website to test out the internet. And it was like a website I had accidentally gone to it was like a porn website or something. But I remember he like put in like P or something.
Uh-oh.
And it came up. And I was like so mortified, of course. And I was trying to, in this case, I wouldn't lie now. I had not purposely visited the site, but I remember he said to me, he was like, it's okay, buddy. Just like a like guy to guy, just weird.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What do you think he was putting in to test the internet?
Maybe he was looking it up.
What if
he was like, I love this.
Yeah, like he's done this so many times that he knows if he types P in the browser bar, like that he's gonna see some weird shit from the family.
No, ew.
Like that's like his own little inside joke with himself.
Sure.
Pretty messed up, but clearly it worked.
Yeah.
Oh my God, going, don't worry, kid. Me too.
Yeah, you hear that voice and everything. It's strange because my dad, he had a he was right in that line. He did have one VHS of a porn in his closet that
VHS?
I found.
VHS?
Wow. Yeah.
Physical media. Physical media is huge again.
Physical media.
Bring
porn.
It back.
Bring it
yeah,
back.
Bring it back.
The best. I mean, my video store, there was a section in the back that they said they had a camera looking at it, but that's where all the porn was, like a little a closet area in the
right.
back.
And the Blockbuster?
Mine was called Rockies. No, I don't think Blockbuster had it.
No, Blockbuster
but
didn't
more local
do that.
Video stores mm. had it. And Oy. you would dare a friend to like run in there. And yeah, I remember the first time as an adult, you walk in, you're like, it was too late. I already had the internet. So I was like, what is this? Physical tabs.
A dying art. So let's talk about creators that are non-adult creators. Like okay. not porn creators. When you started consuming content that wasn't porn, what do you remember watching? You know, you little porn addict freak. What were you watching that wasn't porn?
Oh God. I feel like I was like late to watching like creators. Like I got into sketch comedy later. Probably like 2014, 2015, that I was like watching Britannic and really College Humor and mm-hmm. Above Average. And I really mm-hmm. like saw this world. I don't know why I was so late to the party. I was like this sort of spokesman for General Electric for 2 years. And I got all this money and I spent all of it on my own sketch series called Matza Pizza. Just 12 completely disparate sketches. One was like that was the one that it went viral on Facebook, not on YouTube, but like just some were 5 minutes, some were 50 seconds, some were offensive and are not on the internet anymore. Like this is one that again, it's who was it for, but so high budget.
Welcome to Advanced Beginner Intermediate Hip Hop.
That was my hip hop teacher.
Did you write and direct this?
I didn't direct, but I wrote and so this was. God, I shouldn't have started it.
No, I'm so
look great. Like,
the idea was every time you look down, you lose track of where you are, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, huge, the amount of money I spent on this. I must have spent maybe $125,000 and not any return.
Damn.
But I learned a lot.
What did you learn?
I learned how to make a savings account next time. It was like getting to do anything I wanted comedically and seeing what stuck and seeing like how you have to have some kind of focus and that I need to make more friends in the comedy community. Mm-hmm. That you can't just you
so
can't
when
just
you were casting people, who were you casting? Like how did you find the people?
We did some casting calls.
No way.
I mean, wow. Just crazy.
Around this time, Smosh was doing Every Blank Ever, like when it was brand new, which was like, we were just doing relatable stuff. Sometimes there wasn't even a punchline or we'd like find the punchline in the room when we were like writing those sketches. But like, it was all just relatability. It wasn't like trying anything groundbreaking. It was hard. That was like
it was
a hard
also,
era.
I feel like that was the age of TV too, where it was just like Parks and Rec. It was like the most normal people mockumentary kind of not high concept, easy mm-hmm. to watch.
And you got a repetition. Like, again, we did these high-budget sketches, so I had 12, and we released a rollout schedule that just, it just didn't make sense, you know, as opposed to something recurring. I think that's why, like, when I
they were all so different, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're also different, but it's also, like, after 10, it's like, okay, well, that's done.
Right.
Now what? As opposed to, like,
10 ideas.
Yeah, and I think I so wish it had done better, but when I think I started doing the real stand-up rollout, it taught me a lot of lessons that I think I knew how to be more consistent and sustainably affordable.
If you could do whatever you wanted as a creator and it's doing well and you're living equally or better than you've ever lived, what is it that you're making?
I mean, I love doing stand-up and I think recently I'm trying to like a new thing called Tomorrow Morning Show where I just do like, I realized at some point, oh, I have a live studio audience every time I do stand up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, can I add anything to the show so they don't feel like they're getting tricked? But so in this one, I put on a little suit jacket and I do like kind of monologue style jokes and I build a writer's room and I'm like, oh, I can do that in the middle of my show as a segment. So I really enjoy this new thing I'm trying.
Great.
I do love sketch comedy.
It's Wait, what do you mean the writer's room in the middle of your show?
Like, I basically, like, I was like, okay, I want to do, I was like, late night shows are dying. I love monologue jokes. I just love that kind of clean setup.
Yeah.
It can be a little corny, or but it's like, it's topical, it's fresh. And so I was like, oh, I do these Friday night shows. I can hire some friends, build a writer's room like I would on a late... Basically, like, I'm never going to be a late night show host. At least right now, I feel like the medium is dying to a degree. It'll be reborn some way. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, maybe this is the evolution of that. And so I hire some friends. They submit jokes. I write jokes. I pick the best. I write them out. And then I'm headlining that night for two shows. That's a dress and a run. I'm already filming it. So in the middle of the show, I tell the audience, like, I'm going to do my late night monologue jokes now. Put on a jacket to make it, to be clear, like, now here are the jokes that some people wrote as opposed to, like, my stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, I have a social media manager, found someone in London. So overnight, they can caption it and edit it, and we release it the next day.
Oh.
And it's so much labor. It's these moments where you go, like, oh, I wish I had a TV network that did this part for me.
Right.
But what are you going to do? We're all business people slash artists now.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
There's a lot of great comedians whose voice will never see the light of day because they're fucking messes. But they're so talented.
Yes.
But at least in the era that we're in right now, you can't be that much of a mess unless someone loves you
mm-hmm.
and is
mm-hmm.
willing to
mm-hmm.
bring you in.
No, that's so real. It's like you can never just be one thing. You have to. I always feel bad. Like there's even like comparing it to like a small business in LA. Like they can't just be a cute family-owned small business. They also have to have a strong social media presence, like good at marketing, doing all these things where it's like
even the design of their store has to be beautiful.
Like, it's unfair.
So they curated and cultivated.
Doctors do that. I mean, they have social media accounts.
Right.
I know.
My therapist, back to the therapist with the, you know, what movies are, it's like, ugh.
Yes.
I don't know how we're going to reset from this. I don't think Chris Farley could have like made it in today's world unless someone really loved them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you lost those folks. Bad timing for them.
So you tried sketch comedy and it feels like you're really like honing in on what you like to do and it's getting like, it's growing more and more with beyond stand-up and you're doing this extra stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you know, will there be acting? I was in a sketch group for a long time called Uncle Function. And they introduced me. They were pre-stand-up and they're amazing comedians. And one of the members, Russell Daniels, is the co-host of my podcast. Douglas Goodhart, another member, he's been doing more like kind of video stuff. He has mm-hmm. a series called Master It. And I do hope, I love sketch so much. I love sketch so much that it really was a golden era.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy. You see these College Humor, the budget for these sketches were like mm-hmm. movies. It was beautiful. And now people do it so cheaply on TikTok in a way that is cool too. But I do love the big budget sketch. And I hope there's a renaissance someday.
You talked about how you kind of reply to people on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, I try not to because I'm not a good... I'm not good. I get angry so fast.
Okay.
I lose the part of I need to be funny. And so I struggle with it. The anger blinds me.
Mm.
For that
and
to
then
have
that,
been
that's
the joke.
When they
It's such
win.
An art too. And I guess growing up with early internet, it was just like a lot of time just mean or just like just say things just to say things. Or that doesn't have to be this air of whimsy.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of TikTok has taught us how to like go with a joke and then you can't even tell when people are joking or not joking.
Yeah, you can't even tell when they're just being mean or not.
And I've never been great at like physical reads.
Yeah.
Like I might not just have the talent for it, but I also think I've been so trained to like don't comment on someone's.
Yeah.
So I was like, I even now I try to think of it.
And then I think it's like you can't even insult them. You have to take their joke and turn it on yourself and now accept it as a part of you. Like if that makes sense. So like if he's like, Me pitching on insults.
But I used to do that in roast battles because like if I would do a roast battle.
You did roast battles?
Yeah, that's how I really credit it with like learning joke writing because it's so, the joke itself has to work. The surprise mm-hmm. of it has to work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so people, of course, would call me, like, that was their thing for me. I'm flamboyant. I'm gay. And in a roast atmosphere, that's all you need to say. And like at first I tried to like, the twist was like embrace it. Like, yeah I f***ed your dad. Yeah. And it was always like, it was totally didn't work. And then the only thing that worked, and again, this would be with like a straight guy, mm-hmm. would be like, I had to make us both gay in the joke. So there was JP McDade, who's very tall. And I was like, we're like the Twin Towers. We don't know who's going to go down on each other first or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, that was the...
Yeah.
But it's hard. I mean, it's...
That's clever as fuck.
And again, that's a very specific...
Yeah.
A very homophobic atmosphere.
Right, no.
And like, different jokes could have worked there versus
sure.
a different place.
No, that's
so it's
valid.
Tough. I've never mastered it, because you can embrace it in that atmosphere, but then if you're being accused of gay baiting, you can't embrace it.
Okay, wait, how are you gay baiting?
I guess like showing off my femininity in a way that is being perceived as like a tease, or being like, maybe I'm gay. I think that's what it is to a degree.
But it's not, I feel like it's not your fault. No, I mean, it's just people are interpreting your existence, right?
Maybe. So this particular one, this is the one that everyone, suck a dick or knock this off.
Suck a dick or knock this off?
Suck a dick or knock this off.
What is that?
It's awesome.
What do they want from that?
That is abuse.
By the way,
harassment.
This is me doing an Ariana Grande pose.
Right.
And sorry, I don't want to piss off the gay community, because I deal with a lot of flight attendants, but the idea that like gay men own what, Ariana Grande's femininity,
like what?
But like, okay,
it's so
clear what's happening. Not just because, like, I'm sorry. Look at what you're wearing. Like, you're very clearly not gay here.
He's in the Vans and the Nike, right? The like, Nike shoe
socks, Nike,
bro.
High tops. Like, come on. The shirt needs to be ironed. The neck is all frumpy. Like, you're very clearly not gay. Like,
also, it's amazing you defend me in a way that makes me feel bad. It's. I think the implication, like, you're trying to exploit. First of all, whenever I do it, I go like, I'm. Women are welcome to like this picture too.
There's no winning.
There's just so much to be said.
No
about
winning
it,
for straight men.
You just have to be. You just have to be real to who you are, and just accept that this will come and go. I think as long as you're not inauthentic, at least I believe if you try to not be inauthentic, you will.
Yeah.
People will still like you.
Yeah.
And you know what? People will dislike you too.
Yep.
It's the internet.
That's true. Speaking of getting to know you, I've got my verifying questions here.
Exciting.
I'm going to ask you a little bit of things about your phone habits. Do you have your phone on you?
Yes. I
see it. It's in the crevice.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Delete all your porn history before I start these questions. I'm kidding. I'm so sorry. Okay. Gianmarco, what is your screen time? Like, what apps are you on the most?
So I bought a brick recently.
What's a brick?
It's like you make it so, okay, I don't want to use TikTok.
Oh.
So it's a physical item. You download the app, you tap it, and until you tap it again, you can't use TikTok.
Whoa, okay.
Cool. I have yet to use it.
Okay.
Interesting.
But even you can go in the app and turn it off if you lose the brick.
Sure.
And that's how you know you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's if you're like, oh, I have this new thing. I hire someone. They slap me every time I open Twitter. And you're like, maybe there's an issue.
Yeah.
That's not a solution.
Right.
There's a deeper problem.
So you think it's TikTok you're on the most?
No, Twitter.
Oh.
Twitter. And then like, I mean, this is gross to say, but when you post stuff, you check it.
Yes.
Check
replies
it.
100%. Roll in, yeah.
Check it. Or just the views.
Hey, that's a lot of reading. That's good.
So...
I'm guessing I'm around 4 hours and 30 minutes last week.
Whoa.
What do you mean? For the whole week?
Screen time. A day.
A day. Oh my God. If it was a whole week, I'd be like,
oh, no.
I'm not sure.
Would that be it?
Oof.
What are you at? What are you at? Be honest.
Let's see.
Be for real.
7.5.
Okay.
A day?
Could be worse.
Okay. No, I've seen worse. We have seen worse.
We saw way worse.
Yeah. What's the top apps?
But also, I've been doing, sometimes I'm watching documentaries.
On your phone?
On your phone?
No.
Thank you for being honest.
Thank you for candidness. Okay. How many unread texts and DMs do you have?
I used to not be, but it's gotten worse. 35 texts, phone I haven't checked in forever, so it says 529. I'm not listening to those voicemails anymore.
Mm.
Wow. What if there's like a crazy casting call in there?
I doubt it.
You never know.
What would be the best case scenario casting call?
Oh. Marvel?
The best
case. For you.
Marvel?
For you.
I just throwing out ideas. You're in great shape.
Thank you. No, what would be fun? It would be like a comedy mm-hmm. thing.
A show or a movie?
Like if there was another Anchorman coming out?
I did a show with Adam McKay last night, actually, okay. crazily oh, enough. But no, I don't think my dream calls to be a small part in Anchorman 3.
Anchorman 3.
That's my fantasy.
That's awesome.
Straight to VHS Anchorman 3.
Gianmarco, what is something that you've seen your friends do online that you could never do yourself?
I mean, I have more and more friends that are on OnlyFans. As much as I admire nudity artistically.
We've learned this.
I don't think I'm ready to do it yet.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
I think artistically you should.
Okay.
I think artistically you're not a real artist unless you're willing to bare your whole.
I was like, your whole what? Oh.
Or whole. Yeah, period.
Or whole period. Okay. All right. Turning the gears. What are your most used emojis?
I know it's a lot of fires. Fire.
Whoa.
For like every time a girlfriend says a pic, fire.
I've just started using a kite a lot. Like, let's go fly. Let's go fly a kite.
Literally?
What? Like, not literally, but like, let's go.
Okay.
And I send the kite. I don't know.
It's whimsy. I like it.
Do I have
thank
any?
You.
Yeah, I'm just, it's kissy, thumbs up. It's not exciting. A lot of prayer hands. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's nice.
So he's grateful.
That's just if someone sends something nice.
Yeah, I use the prayer hands a lot of like, thank you. Okay, valid. What was the last text you sent to the group chat? Or what was the last text in a group chat that you're in?
So I have like, it's my boys and they're terrible texters.
How do we know these boys?
They were on the sketch team Uncle Function.
Okay.
Cool.
Russell Daniels, my co-host, Douglas Goodhart, Chris Cafaro, but they are not, I'm more of a texter than the other three of them. Like I see my girlfriend's groups of text friends and they're doing it constantly and it's beautiful. They have a history and inside jokes and ours like random.
What's in there? What's the last thing in there?
Oh, one was we're doing like, we started an annual like boys trip.
Oh,
we're doing our third this year.
Where are you going?
We're going to Hawaii. I'm going to do a show there.
Ooh.
This is our like biggest excursion of the three. It's just, we chill, we get drunk and we had a fight last time. So the last text was a joke about the fight.
What was the fight about?
So it was my friend Douglas. It clearly was about other things.
It's not about the pasta.
We somehow came up like therapy is an art. And he was like, therapy is not an art.
Okay.
And I was like, it is. And we started, it was a debate about what art is.
Hell yeah.
And it ended in me crying.
Oh no.
And a fight. Not a physical fight, but a big, yeah.
Wow.
And we worked through it. It was, but you know, it's like, you that's what these trips are for.
So bros do.
Yeah, it's just sometimes you gotta like be stuck in the same place for 3 days to like get your feelings out. But it started, and so the New York Times, someone shared a screenshot of the New York Times saying, fashion is art. And I said, oh, the New York Times is ready for the trip.
Oh my God.
And then Douglas said, fashion is not art. And I've grown because I'm not going to counter him.
You're not taking the bait?
He's joking now this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out in Hawaii.
Oh, yes.
On the
yes.
argument part two.
In the ring. Okay, that's so funny. What was the last thing you bought online?
I've been buying a lot of, because I had a voice surgery. And so I'm buying like all the stupid, dumb fucking, this mask is for, it's like a mask to fly with that rehydrates the air for you. And I'll never wear it.
Mm. Why not?
Because it doesn't help.
It doesn't?
Drink some water.
Sure.
True. Runs right through there, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I'm... yeah.
It's 9 a.m. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, love that for you.
Thank you.
Are you going to like resell them or...
No, I'll just keep them and... Sure. Until I'm dead.
And you'll be hydrated in the afterlife.
Let's hope so.
What's your bedtime phone routine?
It's so bad.
Why?
I'm not a great sleeper. My girlfriend has night terrors. And on top of it, I just get stuck into that phone. And like, I'll be so sleepy, but I like don't want to go to sleep. And I get on that phone and like, I will hit, there's some notch if I'm looking at my phone enough that I'm not sleeping for 3 hours now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, I'm trying to be better about the putting it away before bed, but I'm usually doing crosswords. I'm going on Twitter, just scrolling Twitter and then looking at a book for 2 pages, getting bored, going back to
so
Twitter.
So much wow. on Twitter. What is even happening on Twitter?
I don't know. It's just like, it's so many, like TikTok to me, I don't have the attention span for TikTok.
Okay, wait. Wow.
Because it's like, it's a whole movie.
A TikTok is a whole movie?
Yeah, and I've got to hold the thumb down, double speed it. It's bad.
Wow.
I really need to be like, put a phone away 2 hours before
bed. I was going to say, I need to be put down.
I need to be put down.
Do you like people watching?
Just like in regular life?
In real life.
No. I should do more. I get bored.
Because Twitter can be, wow, sometimes it's good to be bored.
I agree. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's, she's a TikTok, constant on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So we're not helping each other. We're like two heroin addicts, like encouraging each other to put the needle down so we can use it.
I was going to say, because people watching in Twitter, I feel like are parallel in some ways where you're just kind of like in a busy room and everyone's just kind of shouting and talking and you're just kind of like tuning in to conversations around you. Sometimes you're hearing something about you.
Yeah, I think Twitter's just like, there's something, everyone's mad. There's so many takes on there that are clearly designed, like no real person thinks this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no real person even said it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's usually a bot, but sorry, keep going.
But I get addicted to it. There's some good joke writing still on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you finding your inspo? Like, that's valid.
Yeah, someone said on Twitter recently, it was like, these are, of all the social medias, these are the people who like value the written word within this horrible hellscape.
Yeah.
Like it's still people who like something about the written word.
Mm-hmm.
What apps do you have docked at the bottom of your phone right now? Like what's your top four?
Like many standups, it's a voice recorder app for sets.
Wow.
Mail, text, phone. Pretty boring.
Mail, text, phone. Okay. That's so interesting though. I love hearing like people with different like jobs or being in different industries, like mm-hmm. what's in their top. And I feel like people who are booking jobs, like the phone app is always right there for like calling people back or checking missed calls and voicemails. It's just so interesting. And the voice memo is interesting too.
I voice memo and then like I have a transcription app. So every set goes into that. It transcribes.
Oh,
the whole
cool.
thing.
Whoa.
And then I use that to screenshot if I'm going to clip something or just take notes. So it's a lot of that.
He's clipping. He's working.
Most of my media consumption is myself at double speed.
It's awesome.
You can't even horrifying. Listen to yourself at normal speed.
Do you laugh back?
The whole time. It's I have to go back. Oh, I missed that line. I was laughing at the tag. No, I've never left.
Do you listen to the so like if you're watching your performance, will you go back and see how hard a crowd laughed or how they reacted multiple times?
Once in a while.
Mm. That's a vulnerable
if it's a
question.
New joke,
it is a vulnerable question.
If it's
question.
A new joke that I'm really like, if it's something new and you're like, ooh, yeah.
No, like when something really hits, mm-hmm. This is so not relatable to an average audience member, but like as a creator, when like a try not to laugh bit hit really hard, I like want to understand what about it hit and like mm-hmm. why people laughed.
Yeah.
And like, so yeah, I will sometimes like go back a couple times. Like,
yeah.
Definitely like, feels narcissistic as hell, mm-hmm. but
I think most embarrassing, like if it's a joke, I ran by my girlfriend, but she wasn't at the show. This happened this morning. We're all like casually play it out loud. And then the laugh was smaller than I had remembered it.
Do you ever feel like you can tell the difference between a real laugh and a pity laugh?
If you know the person, like I can tell my girlfriend's like work laugh. Mm. And when she does it to me,
oh no.
I want to be like, I know you're lying. But I'm a terrible laugher and my fake laugh is like, and I my heart's not in it.
Yeah. Sure. No, because you want to be true to your art, your soul. You know comedy. You're not going to just give it to anybody.
I'm just not a laugher. In my head, the better the comedy is, the more I'm like, fuck.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not always bad. It's just, it goes in a different part of my brain.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. Where like, I remember seeing a bit, there's that comedian who did the sex robot one woman mm-hmm. show. And I was like, damn it. Like, yeah. I would have totally done that. So I relate to that.
Vanessa 5000, right?
Yes, I think mm-hmm. so. She's awesome.
I dated a woman once and she would, you know, roast me in like a fun way. And I would laugh really hard. And she said, the reason you laugh so hard when you're getting roasted is because it combines your two favorite things, which is comedy and being the center of attention.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's really true in that, like, I think it's the same when I do stand-up. Like, I feel like I'll laugh at, you know, an interaction during stand-up. And I think it's because I have some kind of attention other than attention deficit disorder. I have some attention deficit. Mm. When I'm on stage, I feel like I become a more fully, like, normal human being.
Mm.
Like, less, whatever, you have low-level depression. When I'm on stage, I'm, like, kind of yeah. there. Mm-hmm. And then I can laugh.
Yeah.
So I always say, I think I'd laugh at a comedy show a lot more if instead of watching the comedian on stage, everyone was looking at me.
Wow. That's my worst nightmare when I go to a show. I'm like, I'm not performing. It's not my goggles on right now.
Yes, I get that. What's your most played song on streaming right now?
God, what have I been listening to? I've been listening a lot to that new Last 5 Years recording with Rachel Zegler and Ben Platt. It's a musical.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, some of Rachel's songs are really good on it.
Do they do the whole album?
Yeah, they did. It's a live taping.
Oh shit.
God, it's good.
Wow.
I mean, I'm more podcast than music. I get bored listening. That's why I like musical theater. I need some story to get through it. And my girlfriend is no music. Her Spotify rap says you did not listen to enough music to truly.
What?
To come with songs.
Wow. Whoa.
So I get stuck on like a couple songs and I just overplay them until they're dead to me.
Mm.
So I've been listening to a little bit of Hedwig and the Angry Inch recently. Still listen to that Bad Bunny halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
Song called She's Gone, like, Dance On by Disclosure that I've been.
Okay. But you like a lot of live performances. That's so like interesting. Well,
when
and
I listen to music,
to
I imagine myself performing it.
That's fine.
In a weird, like, in a weird third person way where I'm watching myself perform it.
Do you want to be, like, is that something you would like to do?
I don't know, because even in this, like, fantasy version, I'm, like, in between first person and third person in a way that you can't be in real life.
Whoa. But
yeah, even when I'm listening to, like, Rachel Zegler belting those Last 5 Years songs,
yeah.
I'm imagining, like, me belting those songs in that key. I don't know why, that's just how my brain...
Sure.
It feels very narcissistic, but I mean, it is, but it's like, that's just how the music goes through my... When I listen to My Chemical Romance, like I remember in high school listening to it and like, I imagine performing it for my ex-girlfriend and the whole school watching. And just like,
wow.
It's like I'm building a little bit of a narrative on top of whatever the song is.
No, I love it. I feel like I did that a lot when I'd be like on a road trip and just put my head up against the window and you just like really get into a song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel bad that we're calling it narcissistic because it's like, you're not doing it to anyone. That's just like you playing in your head. You know what I mean? And that's like what you've built your whole livelihood on.
And also you're performing for people. So it's like a service that you're giving them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're giving so many gifts. Okay, my last question for you is, what can't you quit online?
I mean, I don't think I'll ever be able to quit Twitter. I think it's also this feeling of like, you're missing out on like the world. Like, I don't know if you ever know anyone who like doesn't follow politics at all, but you'll bring up something and they're like, wait, what happened? And you're like, I don't know how you don't know this. I don't know how you don't know what's going on in the world right now.
In this age of information.
Yeah, and like stand-up like feeds the need to do it. So it's like hard to quit for that reason. But just like in general, I don't know what it would feel like to not go on Twitter for a week and not know what crazy thing happened, either politically or with celebrity and gossip. Like, I feel really hooked on the needing to be tapped in to some degree.
Yeah.
And I, you know, whether it's Twitter or something else, but I think maybe with Twitter, it's like I'm able to download the most information because you're just scrolling through so many headlines, so few articles you're reading.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to quit wanting that.
I get it. I thought you were going to say porn.
I thought you were going to say porn too.
I go through a week or two where I'm like, no porn.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
I'm on the road a lot.
Sure. All free time.
I'm on the road a lot.
Sure.
No, but Twitter is valid, and especially how you're saying it. I feel like social media is making it harder to keep up with things now, like in a weird, messed up way. But I totally get that. And then, like, I think you as an artist and a stand-up comedian, you want to have something to say. And so...
Yeah, but you just get, like, a surface level. You don't always go deeper. So, yeah, I could sooner quit porn than I could, like, quit not Twitter. Being tapped in.
I love that for you.
And it's like music. When I watch porn, I imagine I'm the person getting
Hey, keep doing your thing, man.
I will. Because I can't stop.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You have a comedy special on YouTube right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, Thief of Joy, available now. And a podcast called The Downside, available on YouTube and everywhere else.
Hell yeah. I have watched the special. It's very funny.
Thank you.
Can confirm. Chance, anything you got going on right now?
Girl, no, I got nothing going on. Just chilling.
I love you. Okay. Thanks again, Gianmarco. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Hope you've enjoyed. And I hope you leave the internet feeling better than when you opened it today. Anything else you want to say, Chance? What does URL stand for? We forgot to do that.
Oh my God. What does it stand for? United. What did we say? United. Not rectum. That can't. It's not.
Well,
rectum.
We talked about it.
Okay. So United Rectum.
Horse. Life.
Oh.
Horse. URL.
Y'all said horse.
I said rocking
you
horse.
You said horse.
I said United Rocking Horse. I forgot. Sorry. We had a great... We started early today, folks. This was the earliest we've ever started this show. Are you having fun?
Yeah. I'm from New York, so this felt like a regular time.
Perfect. Love you guys. See you on the next one. Bye.